Welcome to CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker, encouraging others to share their God stories to inspire others in their walk of faith. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Hello, everyone. I want to welcome you today to My Journey of Faith Radio. I am so excited about our guest today. We've tried several times to get her on, and God just had other plans, but today's the day, and I'm really excited. We have so many things in our life, strongholds, that are either by our own doing or by others, and that's kind of what we're talking about today, are the things that kind of hinder us, but how we find the joy through it all. And my guest today, she knows all about that. Her name is Wendy Blythe. She's a national speaker, Bible teacher, an attorney, an author of Living So That and Hidden Joy in the Dark Corner. She enjoys helping women through Bible study gain confidence so that they can tackle life's problems through God's Word. She serves as a training and development coordinator for Proverbs 31 online Bible studies and is a member of the First Five writing team. She's been featured on Oprah Radio, 700 Club, Family Life Today with Dennis Rainey, Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss, and a whole lot of others. She makes her home in North Carolina, enjoys writing and time with her husband and their two children. So please welcome with me Wendy. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, how are you? I'm so excited to be joining you today.
I am so thankful that finally God has got us together at this time, because I know God's timing is so perfect. And there is someone out there that needs to hear your story and to find hope through it. So let's step right in.
That sounds good to me.
Okay, so we're going to talk today little bit about your personal testimony. It's not an easy testimony, I'm sure. I've read your book. I got it whenever I was at Key Speaks 1 year. And, wow, very emotional, very heart-tugging. So let's just go back and let's start with your testimony.
Okay. Well, thanks, Cynthia. Yeah, it is the opening, sharing the testimony itself is hard, but the place that brought that God landed me at the end of it all is just a beautiful story. So I always love the chance to share it and tell it. But just a few days after I graduated from college, I was at Baylor University in Texas, and I had graduated and I was getting ready to start a new job that Monday. I was spending the weekend in Waco, saying goodbye to a lot of friends that weekend who were going to go off and do other jobs or go off to graduate school, but I had a job with the university. So I was staying and was sitting out by the pool with all my friends, and as the afternoon dwindled on, we all decided we would meet that night for one last dinner. And so I headed back to my hotel my apartment to around 4 in the afternoon. And as I was walking up the stairs, I had walked into my apartment, and as I walked up the stairs, I looked up. I was thinking of all those things you think about when you're a girl and what you're going to do that night and how you're going to wear your hair and what you're going to wear. And there was a masked man holding a very large knife and wearing hunting gloves standing at the top of my stairs. And when I first saw him, I said out loud, "Oh, this isn't funny. Who is this?" Because it's just something you don't imagine ever greeting you in your own home. But the minute I looked in his eyes and he grabbed my arm, I knew that that it was not someone I knew, and it was not something good. And he then took me back down the stairs. For a very short time, I thought he must be hiding from police or he wants money. But then he proceeded to walk me around my apartment to ensure that every blind was closed and all the doors were locked, and had me take my phone off the hook. And then he shoved me back towards the stairs. And at that point, I tried to push back, because I so knew that if I was going up to my room, what was going to happen to me. But he slammed me against the wall, and he said, "Do that again, and I will cut you." And so then I obeyed, and he took me upstairs and followed me into my room, and when he pushed me over towards my bed, and at that point, I think that was the final moment where I knew that I was his captive, and I probably knew what was going to happen in that room. And he then just, you know, forced me to take off my clothes and just raped me. And when he was finished, he just leaned down very close to me next to the bed and told me to count to 100 before I got off the bed, and that if I told anybody what he did to me, he would come back and do worse. And he just walked out of my apartment and out of my life, never to be seen again.
They never found him.
They didn't. We did everything we could. I ran to my fiancé's apartment. I had just been, my fiancé had asked me to marry him just about a week before, and I ran down there, and they ran and looked for him. One of them stayed with me, and the others ran, and they couldn't find him. And even though later, I went and did the whole, went to the hospital, did the whole rape exam. They came to my apartment, the CSIs. They got all the evidence and fingerprinted everything, but he had worn gloves. And even though they found the gloves and the mask and the knife, everything had been wiped clean. There was no fingerprints. So there was just no way to ever, you know, determine exactly who it was, even though we felt like maybe we knew who it was, but there was never any proof.
Right. Oh, my. Go ahead.
It was a very hard time because I counted myself a Christian. I believed in God. I believed in Jesus. You know, I had some Bibles around my house, and I lived a pretty good life, I felt like. And so I really came to this really dark place where I said, okay, God, I don't understand. I believe in you, but I don't understand how you could sit on your throne in heaven and watch this horrific act be done to one of your children. And I came to this scenario that, there is a God, but he doesn't have the power to stop anything like this. So if that's the kind of God I've been worshiping and believing in, what good is he? Or he's all powerful, but he sort of came to this earth, he created it, one day he'll come back and, you know, make good win over evil, but for now the two have to fight out. And if that's the case, why do we even look to him on earth when we're here? Because he's not available. But the third scenario, the one that stuck with me, was God is real, he is powerful, and he does love me, but for some reason he allowed this in my life. And that's the choice that drove me for years, was just trying to understand how this God that I grew up knowing but not knowing well, and this Bible that I sort of read every now and then, I wanted to know if that book and that God could answer the question for me as to why me.
So what did it take a long time? Was there a process that you started going through? Did you just sit down and just start reading the Bible and digging into it? Mm-hmm. What was the process that got you to the point that you could choose that third scenario?
Well, it was that really, it was a friend of mine from college who just loved the Lord, who was an amazing young woman, the kind that you looked at and go, she's just perfect. You know what I mean? She has everything, and she loves Jesus, and everybody loves her. But the one thing she said to me when she came to talk to me about it, when I said, Wendy, you're the one person who I think would have the answer. And she said, Wendy, the one person who has the answer is God. And she goes, I can promise you, if you go to him, if you go to his word and you ask him to show you, he will show you why he allowed this in your life. She goes, it may not make sense to you right away, but he will answer the cry of your heart. And that began what I share in my book, Hidden Joy, a series of what I call three God appointments, where there were three very specific places in my life where the Lord showed up and began a very slow process of answering that question. I lived for a long time in a prison of fear. I mean, I was so afraid. I wouldn't walk in any empty place by myself. I wouldn't go up flights of stairs. I wouldn't stay alone for months and months. I wouldn't take a shower unless someone was in the shower with me. I was afraid of all men that fit that description. My life was just, I was held captive by fear. And so that was the very first place that I just so desired freedom from. But I also, of course, was very angry against this person who, you know, I couldn't identify, but I had so much hatred towards him. So those are two very big, like, strongholds in your life to have that are a hard place to be. And I know there are women right now that have hard places in their life listening. And I just have to say that as I began to open my heart to God, I didn't just pick up the Bible and start reading. What happened was I had people come into my life, and one was a pastor who was at a church. Once my husband and I got married, we did marry. I married the boy that I was, you know, dated all 4 years of college. It was very hard, but we moved to Dallas, and we were a member of this church. And I went one Sunday. We had a brand new minister, and he preached a sermon. It had nothing to do with anything that was happened to me, but in my heart of hearts, I said, I need to talk to this man, and I really didn't know why. And so I just called the office. His secretary, you know, said, you know, he hadn't been here very long, but it was a 10,000-member church, and here I was, a 20-something, trying to make an appointment with this new pastor. And she said, let me have him call you, you know, or I'll call you back, and I'll check with him. And he personally called back 2 days later and said, I would love to meet with you. Can you meet with me Thursday? And I said, yes, sir. And I remember I took my Bible, because that's what you're supposed to do when you go see your pastor. And I just went, and I, for the first time ever, shared my story with a man, and I said to him, you know, I just want to be better. I just want to be better, and I don't want to be afraid anymore, and I want to know why this happened to me. And when I was talking about being so afraid, he asked me if I'd ever read the story of the man on the mat in John chapter 5, and of course I hadn't. And this is the story of the man who had been paralyzed laying by a pool for 38 years, and Jesus came and asked him if he wanted to get well. And when he had me go to the story, he had me read it out loud, and I wish I had time. I want to encourage your audience to go if they have time and read. It's John chapter 5. It begins with verse 1. But this man had been there. He every time he could go into the healing pool, this pool of water he was laying on his mat by, he said he would try to crawl in, and everyone would get there in front of him. And that's the excuse he gave Jesus. And Jesus just looked at him, ignoring all his excuses, and just said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And God tells us his word is living and active, like a double-edged sword, penetrating to our soul and spirit, joints and marrow. In that verse, Hebrews 4:12. And in that moment, it was the first time ever, Cynthia, it's like God's word just pierced my soul. And I realized, oh my gosh, it's like speaking to me. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And my pastor's words to me were, Wendy, I don't think you want to get well. He said, you have been on that mat. Your mat is fear, and you've allowed it to just hold you down. And he goes, not only are you sitting on that mat, but you're comfortable on that mat. And it was such a powerful moment for me. And so he prayed with me and made me promise to take one step. He goes, what's your first step off your mat? And so I said, I promise you that I'm going to, the next time my husband goes out of town, I will stay by myself. And that's what I did. And I found one verse on fear. I didn't really understand it very well. It says, God does not give the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But I clung to it. I, you know, turned on all my lights, my TV, my alarm, my everything. Stayed up all night, never slept, called a friend to say I'd be by myself. But in the morning, when the morning came, I had done it. I had taken a step off my mat. I had my first taste of God's living and active word speaking into my life and really, really making a difference and causing a change in me. And so that was really exciting.
I bet. I love that story of the man on the mat, because there is so much there. But, you know, I've never really thought about how we can be sitting there and be comfortable on that mat, even in anything that has that stronghold on us. Thank you so much for pointing that out, because that is just, that is freeing to us.
And I think part of the part of what I want to share today that I'm so grateful to have the opportunity is that was a big moment, and it happened when I still lived in Dallas, and it was great, and I began to sort of stay by myself a little bit here and there, but we moved to Charlotte. We picked up and moved to Charlotte in 1998, and when we did that, I left all that was comfortable, all that was secure, all the friends who knew what had happened to me, and my fear began to return, and it was like I was going, okay, God, here I was, moving forward, doing everything I felt like I was supposed to be doing, but it felt like I was taking baby steps back because I was so insecure in my surroundings, and I realized that sometimes we think that it's the people and the things around us that are going to make us safer, heal us, or make us better, and in reality, we really have to get to a place where it's all God. And so if you like, I'd love to share with you sort of that final story where God completely freed me from my fear, as in there is none left in my life anymore.
Yes, please.
So I came here, and in all those years, I had never really done a Bible study. I had, gone to Sunday school and things like that, but I had never done a Bible study. And then I moved here, and I joined a Bible study where it's not a book club, and you're not studying a book, and not even like Beth Moore's Bible study. It was us in the Bible. That's how this teacher taught, and she would lecture, and we would be in Scripture. And it was a study on Genesis, of all things. You know, you think, what can you learn from Genesis? What can you learn from Genesis about fear? But what happened was she began to teach us about strongholds. And I, of course, had never heard that Christianese term. But she just said a stronghold is anything in your life that keeps you from going deeper and closer in your relationship with God, because it's like a block. You know, it's a place in your life where you're leaning more into that and on that than you are God. Whether you're stuck in it or you're, whatever that reason is, you're staying basically, you know, on a mat or in a place that is difficult for you, something you focus on all the time, like unforgiveness you can't forgive, bitterness, an addiction maybe. And what happened was, she started to list all of those things. But when she said that word fear, I had never seen fear as a sin. But fear is a sin because it's not of God. And once the Lord opened my eyes to the fact that there was a sin in my life, she began to just talk about how that's where Satan wants us to stay. He wants us to stay in that stronghold, in that place of sin, because God can never use us. One thing Pastor Craig had told me that day in his office, he said, as long as you stay on your mat, you will never know the abundant life that God has for you. That was so powerful to me, and his words came back to me, and I kept thinking, God, you have this amazing life for me. I have two new children now, and I'm telling you, it wasn't, I came home from Bible study that day, and I sat down at my table. I put my son down for his nap. I sat down at my table, and I went to my Bible, and I went to my concordance in the back, and I picked every verse on fear that I could find, and I chose several of them there, and I list them out in the book. I walk through this. It's in a chapter called Surrendering Your Strongholds. But as I was reading them, one of them from Psalm 91 said, he will shield you with his wings. They will shelter you. His faithful promises are your armor. You don't need to be afraid of the dark anymore, nor fear the dangers of the day, nor dread the plagues of darkness or disasters in the morning. And I felt like that was me. I was just afraid all the time again. But this time, I began to take the verses I found, and I personalized them, meaning I put my name in them, and I began to pray them from a place I'd never had before, confidence. Isaiah 55 tells us, my word goes out from my mouth, and it won't return empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purposes for which I sent it. When we take God's word and we believe what it says and we memorize it and we begin to pray it and claim it, he has to honor it because he says his promises are yes and amen in his word. So I took those verses and I just began to pray them night after night after night. And one night going out of town, I called a friend of mine on the phone and said, Meg, I'm going to stay alone. Please pray for me. And as I laid in my bed, Cynthia, I was laying there, and I did my routine. All the TVs were on, all the lights were on, and I felt the Spirit just say, Wendy, turn off the TV, turn off the TV. And I was like, okay, I'll get up and turn it down, Lord, but I'm not turning it off because I know I'll hear noises. But it kept pressing in me to turn it off, and I did. And I will tell you that in that moment, it's like this peace just washed over me, and there was not a bit of fear. And this vision, the Lord put a vision before me of this wall of angels around my house. And I was waiting for the fear for like the next few minutes. Where's the fear? Where's the fear? And it was because I had not had fear in me for over 15 years. And finally, I realized that it was gone. And so I picked up the phone, and before I even called my husband, I called my friend Meg that had prayed for me, and I told her the whole story. I told her the wall of angels. And she was so quiet. And I said, Meg, did you hear me? And she said, Wendy, when we hung up the phone, my husband prayed for you for a wall of angels to be around your house.
Oh, my goodness.
And I knew in that moment that God, I walked through that long journey of 15 years, ups and downs, steps forward, steps back, so that God would ensure that I knew through that wall of angels that it was He that healed me, that it was His promises, that it was praying His powerful and living and active word of God over my circumstances, speaking them against the enemy, against the devil, who wanted to keep me in that place of fear. And from that point on, there's been a passion in my heart to teach women, not just teach them the word of God, but create a hunger and a desire to want to know it more because it's life-changing, and also then to pray it, because praying it is what really brings about the change in our lives.
Mm. You know, that just put chills all up me. you know, I love how you said that and how you stepped us through, that it wasn't a quick relief, a quick freedom from that fear. Because so many times, I mean, we live in this world where it's a microwave society. We want it now. And so many times we want release and freedom from it just so quickly. But sometimes it's not God's plan.
Right. It isn't. And most people I know, it isn't. There isn't a quick fix. There isn't a quick healing. Because with God, you know, He wants us to trust us. He wants us to trust Him and to know Him. And in order to know somebody, it takes a long time. Mm-hmm. In order to trust someone, it takes even longer, because it's almost like, even though He's God, we want Him to prove Himself to us. And He wants to do that if that means that we're going to grow a deep faith. You know, I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I can't remember if it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1 or 1 Corinthians chapter 1, when He says He's the God of all comfort, who comforts us with the comfort that He gives, so that in turn we can comfort others with the comfort we have received. And I just, that verse brings me so, that's one of those verses that I realized, you know what, when we walk through this hard time, it's so we can experience the God of comfort. And then in turn, today, you and I have stories that we can tell, and it's so that we can comfort others with the comfort we've been given. Or for me, Romans 8:28, that God works all things together for good for those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. And that verse a long time ago made me angry, because I thought Christian people quoted it to me weeks and months after my attack, and I go, you do not know what happened to me, and God would never, ever, ever be able to take what was done to me that day and turn it into a good thing. Mm-hmm. But when I gave my testimony at my church a few years ago, and we had 800 women two nights in a row, the biggest audience that, you know, I had told my story to at the time, and my pastor's wife said, Wendy, would you live through that again? And without hesitation, I said, absolutely. If I knew then that I would become the person that the Lord made me to be today, this person who knows him and trusts him and loves him and who now has a call to share that story and to use it for his glory and his good, I would live through those few hours again. You know, there's nothing like the Lord bringing me through. The journey is hard. Like you said, it's my faith journey. It was hard. And there were many times I wanted to walk away, and I was so angry and shaking my fist at him. But you know what, Cindy? He never walked away from me. He never punished me or condemned me for that. He just kept always showing up through different people, through his word, through worship music, through angels around my house. He just won't give up on us. You know, if we're pursuing him somehow, even in the weakest of ways, he's still there. He's waiting. He wants us. He's reaching his hand out for us.
Thank you so much for sharing. Well, Wendy, we are almost out of time, but I want to just give you just a minute to talk to that woman that's right there listening, that's going, I've been there. I am deep in that stronghold right now. Give her something to hang on to.
The best thing I can give you to hang on to that I felt like I didn't have was to have someone who's walked there before. It can be breast cancer. It can be your husband's walked out on you. It can be what happened to me. It can be, you know, being assaulted as a child. What I can tell you is the answer to the cry of your heart is found in the pages of Scripture. However you choose to open it up, whether you choose to do it through a Bible study, through reading on your own, through finding a devotional book, through getting books like, a book like mine, Hidden Joy, or some other author who's walked through the same journey as you who's a Christian, just be in the Word each day and ask God, cry out to God, how can I get through this? Instead of saying, why me, say, God, this happened to me because we live in a fallen world, but what do you want to do with me through it? I'm willing to be healed. Just help me make it through to the other side.
That is powerful. Well, thank you, Wendy, so much for joining me today. And you have a book out that's called Living So That, Making Faith-Filled Choices in the Midst of a Messy Life. And that is that would probably address a whole other half of the listeners because we all live in a messy life. But I love that. I have a very dear woman that's in my life, and she taught me the phrases of So That. And every time I'm in my Bible now, I come across So That, so it's circled.
I love that book. I do. I love sharing that book, too, because it's just for everyday life.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Wendy, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. And we can find you at wendyblight.com, right?
Correct. Yes, I'd love it. I have a blog, and it would be fun to, if anybody, just stop by and leave a comment. I talk on it today about praying God's word. So if you listen, go visit and leave me a comment.
Yeah, I would encourage all you out there to go on our site. It's wendyblight.com. Go on, find her. I love her story. I love reading her book and just hearing her heart and the teaching that Wendy does. So, Wendy, thank you so much for being on today.
Sure. Thanks for having me. Have a blessed afternoon.
You too. And for those of you listening, I want to thank you also for joining us. I encourage you, whatever you're going through, whatever stronghold that God has allowed to come into your life, it is there for a reason, and he is there to uphold you. It tells the Bible tells us he upholds us with his strong right hand, and we are to lean deep into that. So I encourage you, lean deep into God today. Get into his word. Find out his promises because they are true. Until next week, I just pray that you have a blessed week. Seek him and remember to tell your story because someone needs to hear it. Bye-bye. Have a great week.